You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Something's coming.
Stand by. Hold on to your hats. Here we go.
Welcome to the Streamcast, episode 138. I am Sean DeRager, and with me is Brad Henderson.
Hey, Sean.
What's up, Brad? What's up? BJ is not with us today, but Sarah Jane joins us.
Hello.
She is Fook This on Twitter. F-O-O-K This.
Correct.
And you all should be following her. Sarah, welcome to the Streamcast.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We tried to do this show last time, and this is the third time we're trying to do a Vinegar Syndrome episode. So things seem to be on the up and up, and I just jinxed us right now. It's all going to go down in a ball of flames. I apologize. But if you want to go ahead and let people know about yourself, I would like to know about Your girl gang and whoever wants to follow the hashtag. You guys did a viewing all together last night of Showgirls. What's that hashtag you use? Something pajama party.
PJ pajama party.
Party massacre. Oh man, you guys have been doing that. I've noticed. I think every weekend. What was the beginnings of that? Oh, Noah.
Wait, Noah.
Hold on one sec. No Otter Pops just yet, okay?
What the fuck is Noah doing up?
I don't know. When I'm done, I will let you guys have an Otter Pop right now.
I want an Otter Pop. Okay. No, Otter Pop.
Otter Pop. What the fuck is an Otter Pop?
You don't know?
The juice thing, like a plastic cylinder thing that you freeze.
I'm looking it up. I don't know what it is, but...
They are delicious. They are.
Oh, yeah. So it's just little like freezer pop things.
Yes.
Yeah, freeze pops. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Duh. That's all you gotta say. None of the fancy shit name brand bullshit.
Well, those of you who don't like kids interrupting podcasts, fuck you. We're gonna keep on going. So, Sarah, tell us about the PJ Pajama Party Massacre. It's a lot. That hashtag last night was a lot of fun, especially when you got around to talking about pool sex.
Dolphin sex?
Yeah.
Man, that scene is the most unsexy sex scene in any film ever.
Yeah.
My girl gang consists of, oh gosh, I have to remember their hashtags. It's too early.
No, it's fine.
Okay. Anyway, we just got together like a month ago. It's five of us women who are all writers, and I don't know, we just bonded and decided to come together and have our girl gang. So then we decided we were going to do watch movies, and then we thought, let's just make a hashtag and, you know, live tweet them. So we've done it, I think, every Saturday for the last month.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's fun.
It's entertaining. It's entertaining to follow along. Even if you're not watching the movie, it's just a lot of fun to follow along.
We're pretty naughty. Oh, and there's always a game of Dare, Double Dare that follows. And so the girls get together in a room and dare or double dare each other to do things on Twitter. So that's always entertaining.
Very nice. And what are the sites that you write for? Like, where does your writing where is its home?
TalkFilmSociety.com. Okay. Or on Twitter, it's TalkFilmSOC, and I have two columns, Saturday Afternoon Kaiju, which one just dropped yesterday on Godzilla Final Wars, which was awful. And then my other column is that the Kaiju is every other week, but my weekly column is Overlooked and Underseen, where I focus on a movie that I think needs some more eyes on it, or maybe you want to revisit it, that kind of a thing.
Very nice. All right. Brad, before we jump into this, is there anything else we need to have Sarah
let us know? No, I'll speak a little bit also on the Underseen column. I'm like through a phase right now where I hate everything pretty much everybody's writing because everybody writes about the same fucking thing. I enjoy when people write about movies that are unheard of or not talked about a lot. You know, not so famous horror films, stuff like that, or just something out of the blue. And so I'm a big fan of Sarah's column. So I suggest you read it if you want to know about, you know, something new, which I think we all need to be talking about instead of Spider-Man and Wonder Woman. So
all
that's
right.
All I got. So I guess Sean stepped away for a second because he thought I would ramble a lot longer than so, but thanks for joining us, Sarah. I'm excited to have you on the show.
I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you very much.
So, just to, as a starter question, since we're kind of doing this whole, like, you know, women in horror, women appreciation, you know, women loving movies type thing. When was your first like entry into exploitation or horror? Like what really got you into it?
Well, when I was about 13, I was babysitting at my neighbor's house, and they were one of the few families that had cable. And Halloween happened to come on. And so, I don't know, it was about midnight. And again, I'm 13, and the kids I was watching were 4 and 5. And so that movie scared the shit out of me. And that's the only horror movie now that still gives me the creeps. So that was it. I was in love and terrified at the same time.
You felt like Laurie Strode there for the night.
I absolutely did because I had no idea what it was yeah. or what I was getting into. But I checked all the windows 4 times. I made sure all the doors were locked. Yeah, it was. And every time it came on when I was babysitting, I still watched it, even though it filled me with dread.
Now, did that want to make you go out and discover more stuff, or did you have, like, you know, a mom, dad, brother, sister that liked it too?
My mom, she would let me watch whatever I wanted to watch or take me to the movies to see whatever I wanted to, but I also kind of looked older than I was because I was really tall. So I was able to get into movies whenever I wanted to. So like when Blue Velvet came out, I was way underage, but got in to see that by myself. So that was the movie that got me really loving film. It changed my life.
Cool. So you basically did it on your own, which is cool too.
Yes, but my
mother was.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say my mother was a huge influence on it when I was little. She just sat me in front of the television and was like, hey, let's watch, you know, I grew up watching these horror films. Let's watch these together.
Well, that's what we're trying to do with our son.
Yeah. How old's your kid?
He's 6. And so he's seen things maybe that he shouldn't have seen accidentally, like dead snow or Trumbo for some reason. But he also just watched the last 4 episodes of Ash versus Evil Dead. So at this point, you know, we're like winners at parents because if he can handle that, you know, he's ready for anything.
Cool. Yeah, that's
awesome.
My biggest thing is I like to know how everybody got into it, especially ladies. So, all right, Sean, yeah. You want to start talking about
and,
whoa.
Well, and Sarah's Twitter icon and the use of I'm having a brain blank on her name starts with an E.
Edwig Finnick?
Actress. Yes. You use her pictures a lot and is fantastic, and I'm not complaining.
Okay, because she's my queen, and sometimes she's in a lot of movies, and there's a lot of nudity in her movies. So I welcome that very much, and I like to share that with everyone.
Yeah, they're definitely not complaining over on this side, so you no. keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Yeah, let's move into We're gonna take a quick break for news with Josh Obershaw, and then we'll come back and talking about some Vinegar Syndrome movies. So stick around. And Josh Obershaw finally joins us after far too long for our news. Josh, what's up, man?
Hey, everybody. How's it going, Sean?
Good, man. Busy, busy, and more busy, but going well.
That's good to hear. Yeah, it's been kind of crazy on my end, and it's hot as balls, which is making it even more pleasant, but the show must go on.
Yes.
So there was a lot of things that were happening, but I want to just concentrate on some of the more exciting things, such as there's some new stuff on the Ronanflix site. Have you checked that out, Sean?
Yes, they took some money from me yesterday.
Nice. Yeah, what we got, they've got Kingdom of the Spiders with William Shatner. That's available right now, as well as One Dark Night, starring Meg Tilly and the late Adam West. Let's see, what else have they got on there? Just a whole bunch of cool stuff. Humongous, which is making its Blu-ray debut, is also available. So, yeah, go check out RonanFlix.com and give them some money because they got some good stuff.
Yeah, they're also working on some Diabolik DVD exclusives. And I'm not sure if those are up yet, but
not yet.
Okay, so I know that they're doing Diabolik DVD exclusives, and those look damn cool. I'm like, God damn it! I don't have all this money to just spend. But yeah, keep your eyes out for those. RonanFlix.com and DiabolikDVD.com, and you'll be sending a lot of money towards Code Red and Scorpion. So.
Oh, speaking of Scorpion, they also announced that they're going to be releasing a movie called Blind Date from 1984. This one stars Joseph Bottoms, early appearance from Kirstie Alley, Alana Clarkson, and Keir D'Elia from 2001. So that looks like a very, very interesting flick. I've never heard it before. I'm more familiar with the 1987 comedy Blind Date with Bruce Willis and Kim Basinger, but that's a whole other thing. Moving right along. Also today, as we're recording, July 11th is the beginning of the Criterion sale over at Barnes & Nobles.
Yeah.
Everything Criterion is going to be 50% off. They do this twice a year. The sale runs from today all the way to August 7th. So get on that and grab as many Criterion Blu-rays as you can. I will be getting my first at some point. Yes, I do not own a Criterion Blu-ray as of right now, so boo hiss all you want, but
oh yeah. Man, they're they can be pricey, so these sales are great for jumping in. Hey, real quick, the three exclusives on Diabolik DVD: Cry of a Prostitute, Corrupt with Harvey Keitel and Johnny Rotten, and then making a Blu-ray debut is Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker.
Oh, that's right, Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker. Yeah. I forgot about that.
So that for sure is what I'm going to be ordering. Because I wanted to get the DVD, and the DVD was always, the way he had a store was hard to find. So now that it's coming out on DVD and ordering through Diabolik DVD, that's even better. So
exactly. I mean, I keep hearing about it on the Pure Cinema podcast, and I'm like, God, I want to see that.
Yeah. The other two, I'm not sure. But, I mean, Harvey Keitel and Johnny Rotten and Corrupt, I mean, I've never seen that film. I don't know. But, I mean, that right there is, like, enough to get me to buy that for sure.
Oh, yeah, I've never even heard of it until this Diabolik exclusives, but that alone is worth the price of admission. I will admit that. Okay, next up from Screen Factory, they revealed a couple of exciting titles. The first one is going to be George A. Romero's 2005 flick Land of the Dead. That one is coming out on October 24th. Also coming out on October 24th. They're releasing a collector's edition of the 2004 remake of Dawn of the Dead. And as far as bonus features, they're still working on that, but we know for sure that there's going to be interviews with James Gunn, who's also featured prominently on the upcoming collector's edition of Slither. And I think it's really cool that someone like Ty Burrell, who's really big on Modern Family right now, took some time to do an interview for a Blu-ray of Dawn of the Dead. So you got to give it up for that. And it will include both the unrated and the theatrical version.
Okay. Now, the one thing a lot of people are asking, and I don't know if they've really talked about it, like the only thing that would really get me to dive into this, because I already have the Blu-ray, it would be like a new transfer, because for some people, the transfer was problematic. But I haven't seen Scream Factory comment at all that this is going to be a new transfer. It's just looking like, so far, it's just some new special features.
At the moment, that's what it looks like, but that could pretty much change. Yeah, that is something that I did notice. They didn't mention anything about a new transfer.
I mean, to me, it looked fine. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. Like, I am totally happy with my Blu-ray that I have.
So, well, I've never – yeah, I'm sorry. I've never seen it on Blu-ray either. I'm just – my memory of seeing it on the big screen is pretty it's still pretty fresh in my mind even after 13 years. Holy shit.
I know, right?
Oh, my God.
That's one of the few horror movies I got my wife to accompany me to, and she hasn't really – accompanied me to a horror movie since.
Oh, after an opening like that, I can imagine why.
It's one of the best, like, it's one of the best remakes out there, and that the opening is just one of the best openings to a horror movie, period. A modern horror movie, especially. It's just
agreed. It's
fantastic, man. Just tension, and of course, the use of a Johnny Cash song. Is even better.
I love that song.
So, yeah, good deal. I'm glad this is getting a collector's edition. I would only really bite if it was a new transfer. So, there has to be something with, because Scream Factory is doing this a lot. They're taking movies that are already on Blu-ray, giving them some more special features. But for me to rebuy something, it's going to take a little extra from them. So I'm cautiously keeping an eye on it.
Cool. Well, there's actually one more Scream Factory announcement that I want to mention, because I know a lot of people have been waiting for this one. It's the Poughkeepsie Tapes, everybody. The Poughkeepsie Tapes is finally seeing the light of day after 10 fucking years. People get to see this movie and find out what all the fuss is about.
Hopefully it's good.
That one. Hopefully it is good. I mean, I'm trying hard not to psych myself up, but 10 years. I mean, just the 2 years waiting for Trick or Treat was painful enough. So imagine a whole decade. But yeah,
I mean, this is another, like, all the boys love Mandy Lane type thing, where a movie's kind of shelved and, people want to see. And I really dig All the Boys Love Mandy Lane. I remember I got the UK Blu-ray before it hit this, it got an actual domestic release. And I've heard good things about Poughkeepsie Tapes. I think you need to keep your expectations in measure, just like any movie you're anticipating. The problem is, with a lot of people I talk to, and a lot of the negative reviews that I read, is like, it all boils down to expectation. And if you let your expectations get out of hand, you're probably going to be disappointed most of the time. But I hear it's a solid flick, so I'm interested in checking it out. That's cool. Like, this is the stuff that I want Scream Factory to do.
Yeah, that is true. And I hear a lot of great things about it, especially for a found footage movie.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's the Scream Factory news. That's going to be a little bit of an appetizer, because we know pretty soon they're going to be making a whole bunch of announcements at Comic-Con.
Yep.
So we'll be telling you all about that.
Which, by the way, I will be down in San Diego on, I believe, we're having a podcast meetup.
Nice.
I think I'm going down on the 20th. It's a Thursday of next week. But keep an eye on my Twitter, Sean C. DeReger. And I'll throw something up on the Screamcast Twitter, too, Scream_cast. But I'll be heading down there to hang out with some other podcasters. We'll be at a bar, and we'll be hanging out, chatting. So I'll let everyone know that that's where I'll be when the time gets closer. So within the next few days.
Excellent. You heard it here first. All right, moving on to Severin. I don't know if we mentioned this the last time because it's been a long time, but they're going to be putting out Joe D'Amato's Beyond the Darkness on July 25th. I know that's one that I believe 88 Films has on their roster.
Yeah, I think they do, and I feel like I got an Australian version of it too.
Oh, I see. But they've got two more Joe D'Amato movies planned for later this year. One is called Emmanuel and the Last Cannibals. And guess what? Anthropophagus is getting a Blu-ray release here in the United States. Yeah. This is one of the big ones on my wish list. This one, and neither have I. I've heard so much about it. And it's one of those really, really notoriously, you know, ugly movies. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Sold.
I had got the 88 Films limited edition and had got word rumblings that Severin may be releasing it. So I sold my 88 Films because I knew since it was limited that I can sell it basically for what I bought it for. And I've been anxiously, just patiently waiting for the Severin version.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to be on the Severin version because there's no dates, no other information other than that. But the 88 Films Remastered Special Edition has some pretty cool stuff like 2K Restoration and the Eastman Chronicles.
Yeah, and there was a 42nd Street documentary, I think, that they put on there. But I think one of my domestic releases, one of the Blue Underground releases or someone put that documentary on one of their Blu-rays. So it was like the one thing I was really holding onto it for. I was like, I already was on another Blu-ray I had. So I was like, well, I can sell this, make my money back, and then just be patient.
Sounds like a plan.
But yeah, Beyond the Darkness, by the way, Umbrella Films put it out on Blu-ray a couple years back. But I guarantee you, the Severin transfer is going to be a lot better. It's not a very good transfer.
Oh, I see. Well,
on the Umbrella version. So,
yeah. Well, I'm glad I saved my money then.
Yeah.
Right. So, what would we do? Beyond the Darkness and Anthropophagus. I'm not too familiar with Joe D'Amato's stuff, so I think these two are going to be a good jumping off point for me.
Yeah.
Some other future titles from 88 Films coming out. They've got Lucio Fulci's Touch of Death, which is coming out August 7th. Bruno Mattei's Zombie Creeping Flesh, that's August 28th. Happy Hell Night, also on August 7th, excuse me. Luther the Geek, which I know is a Vinegar Syndrome title over here, that one comes out on September 11th. Let's see, what else have I got? Oh, yes! At the top of 2017, you might remember I mentioned the fact that we are getting a new Chucky movie entitled Cult of Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
There's a release date. Universal is putting it out on Blu-ray and DVD on October 3rd.
I'm in, man.
And they're also releasing another goddamn box set.
I'm done, man. No more box sets. I got the one. I have the last movie on a separate Blu-ray. And then I'll just get this. I'm fine. But man, these Chucky movies, man, the same writer director or same director has been involved with every single one. Am I correct in that?
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, I don't think that's really happened.
Not really. I mean, even
not
though
this
Ronnie,
many films.
Not this many films. I know Ronnie Yu did directed Bride of Chucky, but dude, how many franchises can you say can boast that? I mean, other than Phantasm.
Yeah, and he's not interested in, like, retconning anything. He's trying to fit all the – everything prior has happened. So, like, Seed of Chucky and the crazier films, like, even these two newer films, which they could have easily done, like, a reboot or something. Like, all the crazy shit's happened. You know, it's all part of the world and the story. Man, I'm really pumped for Cult of Chucky. I really can't wait.
So am I. That's probably my most anticipated release in October so far.
Oh yeah, I'm buying that as soon as it comes out. I mean, there's no questions about that.
Cool. Well, on the horror front, that's pretty much all the big news. for all you animation fans, especially you Batman fans, 1993's Batman Mask of the Phantasm, the animated film spinoff from the classic animated series, that one is finally coming out on Blu-ray from Warner Archives sometime this month. I don't know when exactly, but it is coming out. And what's interesting is they're presenting it in not only the theatrical format, the 1.85:1 aspect ratio, they're also presenting it full frame too, which is interesting because that was the original plan for this movie. It was going to be a direct-to-video release.
All right, okay.
But halfway through, I guess the higher-ups of Warner Brothers said, holy shit, this is incredible. This needs to be in theaters. So so Bruce Timm and everyone's just like, well, fuck. I mean, we got to reframe this whole thing for a theatrical. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting to see that version of the movie as well.
Cool, man. That's one of my favorite animated Batman films. It's one of my favorite Batman films of all time. Like, it's really good.
It is exceptional.
Yeah.
So hopefully this means we'll probably get the entire animated series on Blu-ray, but we can dream. And with that is all the news that I have.
All right. Awesome. Well, there's always plenty of films out there, plenty of Blu-rays for us to empty our pockets for. So thanks, Josh, for the heads up on all that.
Oh, it's no problem. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
And it's good to be talking with everybody. So we'll see you next time. Same bat time, same bat channel.
All right, Josh. Thanks.
See you later.
We are back with Sarah Jane. We are going to be discussing the recent batches from Vinegar Syndrome. We're going to start with their more exploitation things, and we'll dive into the back room briefly near the end of the show. I do need to say this, that because BG's not here to say it, but she will be starting a she's going to be starting a her own patron-only podcast. Kind of a short and sweet thing. She's going to be pairing up different pornos together for double feature. And as we get more information on that, as she starts doing them, I'll let you guys know about them. I'm trying to see, like, she sent me a picture. She even, like, had a logo made. I'm trying to find the name of it.
Oh, yeah, she did.
She tweeted it out, but I'm failing here. I can't find it. Anyway, so I'm excited to kind of start getting that out to our patrons. I think what we're going to do is I haven't figured out the dollar level. I'm thinking, like, if you're a patron, you're going to get it. So whatever level you're at. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited because she's just going to be sending me those, and I'll be putting in some music and putting them up for everyone. So
sexy music, hopefully.
Oh, totally. You kidding me? Hell yes. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. But we're going to be chatting about a few flicks right here. And let's dive right into it, shall we? All right. So the first film we will be talking about is 1983's Double Exposure.
Oh, shit.
He was a photographer. They were his models.
Smile.
He built illusions.
All it was a simple relationship, you model.
And I photograph!
It's good. He created dreams.
No, you weren't! None of you were any good!
Ah, that's pretty. Anything special you want to do for me?
How's this?
That's special.
You slut!
Talk, tease me, turn me on, and then play like you're innocent. The hell are you? The hell are you all?
And then the dreams became a living nightmare. Double exposure.
Now, the synopsis is that a photographer for a men's magazine has a recurring dream that he's killing models in various disturbing and gruesome means. And then, is it him or not? I don't know. I don't know. Who's doing all the killing? Is he really doing it? That's my synopsis for it.
Wow. That's usually, that's better than normal. I'm quite impressed.
It's directed by William Byron Hillman and stars Michael Callan.
Yeah, Michael Callan up in the house. So was this a first time for you, Sarah, seeing this, or is this something that you're familiar with?
I am actually, I'm sorry, I'm looking it up. I feel like I've seen it because I see Joanne Pettis in it, but you guys carry on and I'll let you know. I'm sorry.
Pamela Hensley's in it. Who else? Anyway. But, oh, I really liked it. I felt like Michael Callan was like, he's almost like a goofy version of George Clooney. Like, I kept getting George Clooney vibe from him.
George Clooney?
The film.
When he's all, like, hot and sexy? Like,
yeah.
Like when he's like waking up from his, like, nightmares and stuff?
Hot and sweaty, goofy-looking George Clooney. Like, just when he first meets, that model who becomes kind of his love interest near the beginning of the film, and he's like, but he's like very creepy, but he's like trying to be like very charming, you know. It was just like, it was like someone trying to
so
do
you
a
find
bad
George charming.
Clooney. George Clooney has that little kind of charming little, you know, smile, and he kind of does his little head bobble. He has a head bobble.
I agree. I'm a big George Clooney fan. I just want to hear you talk about him more.
Yeah. Okay. So I felt like Michael Callan like seemed to be channeling George Clooney before probably George Clooney was even born.
No, so George Clooney,
this is 83. Never mind. Acting.
So George Clooney is in your boner jams.
Oh yeah, totally.
All right. Yeah. All right. Just checking.
That's a fair shake.
So yeah, Double Exposure was fun. I think it is the highlight of the batch that we're going to be talking about for the most part. The only thing with Double Exposure that kind of I like it, but I don't, is that the movie can't really make up its mind what it wants to be. Like, at first, it's like a straightforward slasher, and then it's like, puts on the brakes, is like, whoa, 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 no, let's be really sleazy. And then it gets really, really sleazy, and they're like, whoa, no, no, whoa, 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 let's just be, like, kind of a thriller. And it's like, okay, let's do that. And it's like, no, let's go back to slasher. Yeah. And it's like,
and then they have like weird comedic moments too with his
and there's like some really funny moments, but like, you know, there's that one sequence when he's in the RV with that woman, and he just pulls out a blade and he like starts cutting between her boobs and stuff, and it's like, oh my god, like calm down, like I did not expect that from this movie. And then the silly death scene in the pool when he like drowns her with like a fucking pole.
Yeah, there's no way that – there's no way.
I was like, swim away, bit. Swim away.
Oh, no, but she didn't know how to, no, that was the whole thing. She didn't know how to swim.
But still, you know how to move. The pool ain't 20 feet deep. That shit was a lap pool.
Yeah.
Like, as a kiddie pool she was in.
Well, no, he had her swim to the deep end, and he goes, just hold on to the side. You'll be fine. I got you. And then he does that. So, hey, she was in the deep end, and she didn't know how to swim.
All right.
So parents teach your kids how to swim.
Do your kids swim?
Two of mine do. My five-year-old is about to take some lessons.
All right. His lesson should be with that pole. See what you can do first. But yeah, I dug Double Exposure. I think it's just going to be one of those ones that's not really looked at so much because I think people are looking at it kind of like one of those sleazy, like After Dark, like 80s, 90s movies, which it kind of is at the same time. You know, there was Mill Creek put this out a few years ago on something called After Dark Thrillers, which had a lot of those movies like that on there, and I just this movie always kind of, it always feels out of place no matter where it is because it's such a mixed genre that it doesn't know what it wants to be, and then it ends before it actually like solidifies to what it's really supposed to be going on. And I guess the thing is, it's like kind of a pseudo, like it's a pseudo slasher thriller. But I mean, it's good. I definitely like it. It's just movies just all over the fucking place.
Well, the beginning of the film starts off like a cop, undercover cop type flick, where they're monitoring that guy just up as a prostitute, and you know, shit goes down. Like, I was wanting to follow those detectives throughout the film a lot more. Like, I thought it was setting us up to follow them around. And
maybe
then,
you can write a spinoff.
I know you could, because all of a sudden we're following Michael Callan around, and he's
AKA George Clooney.
George Clooney.
The IMDb lists this as a comedy, just for your knowledge. What? Yes, it does. It does.
Yeah.
So there
comedy,
you go.
Comedy crime drama.
But that's exactly what it is, though. Like, I know we're laughing, but that is what it is. Like, it is a comedy. It is a crime. It is a drama. It's so weird.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. I don't want to put a damper on this conversation, but one of the... one of his buddies, the guy that the paraplegic, not paraplegic. God damn it!
He's not paraplegic.
Idiot. I know. It's early. It's early.
He's an amputee.
Amputee. To any paraplegic and amputees listening, I apologize for fucking that up. He's an amputee, but his story gets dark in real life. I'm gonna have you guys look it up, but
oh no, dude, he's like a fucking pedophile or some bullshit.
You know, I wasn't gonna try to bring us down. Yeah.
Well, you just did. but yeah, James, what fucking happened? He died. Oh well, no harm, no foul there. If pedophile dies, so. But yeah, I dug it. It's you can get it vinegarsyndrome.com. You can get it at Grindhouse Video. You can watch it probably like on Amazon Prime with some like shitty like Mill Creek transfer. That's probably what they still have up there. So AKA VHS. But yeah,
that's a give it a watch. Give it a watch if you can.
No, I think it's the highlight of the pack. Other than Red Mob.
Wow. All right, we'll get to Red Mob in just a little bit.
What if we get to Red Mob right now?
Fine, let's get to Red Mob.
Because people are like, fuck, what's Red Mob?
It's Russian name is Chitabobby Vyslit.
Wow, our Russian listeners are going to be pissed, bro.
Chitabobby Vyslit.
If there's a Russian amputee listening to this show, he's going to be really mad.
Oh, man, this is a 1993. Can you believe it? It felt like a 1983.
Whoa, dad jokes. That's like a dad movie joke.
It's directed by Vsevolod Provkin.
All right, just stop. So Red Mob was a kind of a discovery for Vinegar Syndrome. Red Mob was never released, as far as we know, in the U.S. On VHS or DVD or Laserdisc. It had a theatrical run in Russia and had, I guess, a small release on Laserdisc and VHS over in Russia, but that's pretty much it. And this film was unheard of, and Vinegar Syndrome actually has a version that was never ever released to the general public, which is the extended cut of the film. So that's the first time this has ever been shown in HD to the world. So that's a pretty big accomplishment, I would say, for a small company.
Yeah.
So Red Mob is, I would say, Red Mob, if you took Commando and had him fuck Rambo, and maybe like had the KGB like videotape it. That's what Red Mob is.
I'm adding this to my watch list immediately.
Yeah, like the movie's insane. Number one, it's all over. Like, talk about a movie that's all over the place. Just like this. Kind of this description I'm going to give is all over the place. So you really don't know what's happening in Red Mob until maybe what? Maybe an hour and 20 minutes into the movie, the plot's actually revealed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've watched this, like, four times this year already, and I've watched it with different people each time. And each time, somebody in the room, whether it's 20 minutes in, an hour in, I actually had somebody almost an hour into the movie turn to me and say, "Brad, this movie's awesome, but what the fuck is it about?" And it's like, no, just give it a second. The plot comes up. But what I was told from Vinegar Syndrome is that the film is all, and you can obviously see it if you pay attention to the scene setup, the film is also misedited as well. So people will be having a conversation, walking in the, like, outside in the snow. A bunch of action will happen with this person. This person might even die in the movie. But then, 30 minutes later, we're back to that same conversation of them walking in the snow, talking.
Oh, they're just Bella Tarantino. They're just, you know, he's just you know, going out of sequence. Do you want to hear the IMDb user synopsis for this?
I just looked at it, but yes, please do.
The Ready. Long tentacles of an unholy alliance between the KGB and the Russian mafia reach a camp where Oleg, an elite officer and Afghan war veteran, is holidaying with his son. But when Oleg's friend refuses to lead a drug and gun smuggler's caravan through a desert impasse, Oleg's son is taken hostage.
Oh, shit!
Oleg agrees to lead the caravan, pretending to go along with the mob. He leads them directly into a trap where he and his son must fight their way through a desert inferno of explosions and mayhem if they are to escape.
Damn. All right, that's perfect, but that happens an hour and 20 minutes into the movie. The first hour and 20 minutes is exposition, and nothing's happening other than a lot of conversations and people dying. And then all of a sudden, an hour and 20 minutes in, that's what happens, and it's like, oh, 30 minutes of just this.
Yeah. It is one of the most epic helicopter showdowns.
Oh my god. I've ever seen on film. The fucking dogfight between the helicopters is fucking epic as fuck. So, another story about this film is that this film actually had KGB on set, and the KGB was kind of doing like their thing, and like I guess they're the ones flying the helicopters. So, the whole movie is just like it's insane. And the cool thing is that Oleg, the guy who plays Oleg, I don't know his like real name.
Look it up. I will look up. I will tell you.
Stop. He is
Vladimir Menshov.
He's a fairly popular actor in Russian, and then a lot of people would probably recognize him as Geyser from the Night Watch movies. He plays Geyser in Night Watch and Day Watch, which, you know, sadly those films never actually went anywhere as far as the trilogy that was promised. But hey, if you want to watch a Russian movie where there are ghosts, werewolves, shapeshifters, vampires, and that could do crazy things, Night Watch is for you.
Oh yeah, the sequel.
Yeah.
Night Watch? Yeah, Day Watch.
Oh.
Yeah, Day Watch.
I thought you meant to Red Mob, and so I was confused.
Oh, God, if there's a sequel to Red Mob, give it. Well, technically, there is a sequel to Red Mob. It's in the movie, because you watch another movie, and then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Oleg's back. So, anyways, sadly, this film sold out almost immediately with Vinegar Syndrome. But I'm hoping that they give like a not deluxe edition. Mm-hmm. They put it back out, maybe double it with something else, or you could find it on exploitation TV, which I highly suggest you get. You know, because maybe these movies aren't for everybody. I don't know how much rewatch value that some of these movies have for kind of the general public, but I mean, if you love crazy exploitation action movies, you know, you can watch, like, the last even 30 minutes of Red Mob and then, like, oh, my God, this is fucking epic as shit.
Well, these films, though, lend themselves, like, especially Red Mob, to if you have, you know, you and your friends, if you like the same kind of shit, and a lot of people, or even people who haven't seen these movies, like, would make a fun viewing party. You know what I mean?
Oh, everyone over, I've watched Red Mob a few times with people, and people have a fucking blast.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know,
do some sort of theme, you know, big fur hats and vodka, you know.
Oof. Dude, if you would watch Night Watch and Red Mob, how good of a fucking double feature would that be? Because both of those movies are insane. Jesus. Dude, even like in the first like 5 minutes of Night Watch, when they go inside the house and Bear, Firefly, and Tiger enter the room and they tell Tiger to intervene, and Tiger actually turns into a fucking tiger and leaps on the wall, it's like, oh my god, this is the movie that I wanted when I was like seven. So...
All right, let's move on. Just keep it moving. Next, let's talk about Malibu High.
Yes!
I'm going to get the highest grades, and studying isn't going to have anything to do with it.
Kim wants to graduate from Malibu High with honors. Most kids do it by making grades. Kim does it by making appointments.
What are you doing after school? If you're interested, I'll be at High Point.
I'm not interested.
High Point. I'll be there.
She's studying with the best instructors at Malibu High. And if she can't learn enough from 9 to 3...
You game for a little game?
She takes her teachers on a field trip.
Well, that's an offer hard to resist.
Then don't.
Malibu High.
This is a 1979 film that on via the cover looks like a 1980s sex comedy.
That cover is so deceiving. The poster for it. You think, oh, I'm getting a hot girl, and then you get that girl. And yeah, she's gross. She is.
I kind of liked her. I don't really care for the movie, but you know, I wish how old is she? Oh, I got her. I'm done talking.
Like, she's supposed to be 16. Or no, it's her senior year, so she's probably 18.
That doesn't matter. You don't fuck 18. High schoolers.
She says she's 18 at one point. She does say that.
Yeah. She's a senior.
That bit needs to grow up a little bit, go to college, and then maybe I'll say, hey, what's up?
All I know is when I was in high school, when I was a senior, one of my classmates flirted with our science teacher, and once she graduated, they were a couple.
Yeah.
So it
all right. So
this is directed by Irvin Berwick.
So Sarah, you like this movie? We'll let you take the lead. Go ahead.
I did like this movie, but I watch a lot of these kind of movies, and so I can't say it's great and everybody should watch it. But I mean, they should. But it's just my kind of movie. So although it's the lead is gross, and I don't buy her as, you know, the hot prostitute.
Are these a different actress for the poster?
Absolutely. That's not her. No. That looks like you're getting, you know, a fun movie where people are just having sex on the beach. And instead you get this woman that has really bad posture. That bothered me. It did. It bothered me through the whole thing. It's like, stand up straight, lady. Fuck. Anyway, so
that's fantastic. Yeah. Well, the synopsis is so she's a high school senior and she's dumped by her boyfriend or something like that. And her grades are just awful.
She's flunking.
So she's totally flunking out. So
she's getting that F.
Debt.
But she wants that. She wants that D though.
Exactly.
She wants that D to get that F up.
This is the most unsexy talk I've ever heard you say. You need to talk about George Clooney more.
Yeah. So she begins to try to seduce her teachers for better grades. She takes on a prostitution job to get money so she can get a car and get the hell out of Dodge. And then also she gets wrapped up in possibly some assassination.
Dude, how fucking crazy is that shit in this movie?
I maybe
like that shit.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just saying, this shit's crazy. What were you going to say?
I was just going to quote her line, which was the best one in the movie, that said, I may be a hooker, but I'm not a hit girl.
Ooh. That's kind of sexy.
She said it, so maybe not.
Yeah, this I'm not a fan of the movie. I'll just say it that way. Again, this is one of those Mill Creek box sets that came out, and I was like, oh shit, a sex comedy I've never seen, because it's on the box set of like Hunks, The Van, and The Vowels, and all this, and I'm like, oh shit, this is a sex comedy I've never seen. Nope. It's just I feel it's just like this really sleazy, boring drama. I was not a fan, so I am not going to talk people out of seeing this. So you could take the lead, else Sean, or whatever else.
There's one scene like the pimp or whoever she strikes up a relationship with has like the most hair on his chest I think I've ever seen in my life. And there's a scene where she's just like playing with his chest hair, like strands, of, like rubbing her fingers through his hair, and you know, I got chest hair, but I mean that stuff's like
it was.
You know, he's been.
It was a pelt.
It's Austin Powers, straight up Austin Powers shit going on.
Like what are those things called that shit? I can't think. Not rats. Like, well,
I need going with this? I need more information.
No. It's something. They eat their prey, and then they digest everything. And oh, owls! So owls eat, and then they
you
spit
get
up
owls from rats. Oh my god!
So they spit up that like ball of fucking bones and fur shit. How did we get on this conversation?
I don't
chest
know.
Hair.
Yeah,
chest
that's
hair.
What it looks like.
So anyway, Malibu High is not what you're expecting. That's what we're saying. It's, you know, it's like this kind of sleazy high school prostitution assassination flick. You know, but she's I don't know. She's in charge of her own destiny, so I guess that's what we're supposed to take out of it. She's at least doing all this on her own. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so there could be some female empowerment here.
I guess.
Yeah, maybe. I don't feel of it that way because mainly it's you know, it's high schoolers. So like, not saying high schoolers can't have that, but still, it's just the film is just. I feel like it's trying to push buttons too much, but it just never achieves it like other films do. Like when I was talking about Private Lessons a couple weeks ago, where you know the older woman fucks the 15-year-old boy. Like,
yeah.
Okay, that's weird. Like, the whole movie, but that movie achieves its sleaziness and, you know, just being fucked up. This, like, tries to be, but I think it's mainly because she does look so much older than 18. Like, you just can't really buy that she's a high schooler. And it doesn't have that high school learning feel either. It just, like, high school's just, like, the setting. But she's not really in high school doing high school things with girls. Like, it's just, yeah. So, I don't know. I've just never been a fan of the movie.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's Malibu High. All right. We have a few more to talk about here, and then we will be getting out of here. This episode, we're going to be keeping a little bit short and sweet. We'll be back to our longer episodes hopefully next week. We'll get all the segments in. But let's talk about another one of their limited editions.
Ooh.
1972's Sweet Sugar.
Meet Sugar. She's beautiful. In chains. And she's busting out, shackled to the steamy cane peels of a tropical inferno, with a whirlpool of women that plunges you into the depths of desire. They're women. They're warm. They're wildcats. Meet the doctor who satisfied his vile gluttony on the bodies of the innocent.
It's only because you don't understand how far my proposal extends.
Oh, I can see how far it extends.
Yes.
Phyllis Davis.
I liked Sweet Sugar. It was, you know, the women in prison whole thing. And it's, I always love those films. And like, you know, like, was it Big Birdcage and other films like that are always a lot of fun. This had that vibe. For me, so this prostitute, her name's Sugar, gets set up, and she basically gets taken to one of these chain gang type, they're all cutting sugar cane, and she's forced to stay there. And there's like a creepy doctor who wants to have sex with her and also possibly do experiments on the women.
I like it. It's like a pseudo blaxploitation movie as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, sexy ladies are carrying around machetes. I'm down. So
Phyllis Davis plays Sugar. She's gorgeous.
She's hot. I love her. What can I say?
Yeah, she's definitely really, really cute in this movie. So
yeah.
So no, yeah,
yeah. Go take it, Brad.
Well, I just want to say, for the most part, with kind of how this film set up, I think that to maybe appeal to more people, it feels like this weird like prequel to maybe like Turkey Shoot. Like it has that prison, like not prison, but like that chain gang vibe. And I mean, she's super gorgeous in the film. I don't know, this, when I think like women in chains exploitation, these are the types of movies that I want to see. Mm-hmm. Just because it does have like the dominating male, it has the women fighting back, it has the women overcoming it. And then, like, you know, it also, but it appeals to everybody. Like, it has something for males and females. So women in chain movies sometimes only go to the male side, sometimes they only go to the female side, which is very, very uncommon. But I think this film has something for everybody. You know, and I like it. I think it's cool.
Sarah, what are your thoughts on Sweet Sugar?
I like it. It's one of my favorites, but I also do kind of get it confused because there's another movie called The Mothers with Jane Kennedy, but instead of being on a sugar cane compound, I'll call it, they're on a coffee compound, but it's the same kind of movie, so I get confused.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this that's one of the Santiago flicks that Vader Syndrome also released. But I think that's – I'm glad you mentioned that because that would be a pretty cool double feature though.
Yes, absolutely.
Totally.
So, but yeah, because they're both kind of pseudo-blaxploitation movies at the same time. So awesome. even though a white female is the lead in this, it still has that, you know, blaxploitation vibe with characters. So yeah, definitely something to check out.
Characters are really great. The director directed a movie from 1971 called Werewolves on Wheels.
Yes.
And I really want to see this flick.
Yeah, that was filmed in my hometown, I believe.
A biker gang visits a monastery where they encounter Black Robed monks engaging in worshiping Satan.
Yeah, that was here. Where was that filmed? Nope, never mind. It was filmed in California. I have the wrong movie I have the wrong movie. But yeah, Werewolves on Wheels. Sarah, are you a fan of that one?
I have seen it, and yes, you should watch it. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, from the description, Satanic, how do you not want to watch it?
Yeah. Satanic biker gangs that turn into werewolves?
I mean, on wheels?
Sign me up. Yeah. Oh my God. And they look like, they totally look like Wolfman from the original black and white Wolfman flick. Like,
it's awesome.
Oh my God. Okay. Has anyone released Werewolves on Wheels, Brad? Do we know?
Werewolves on Wheels was released by, I want to say, Cheesy Flicks on DVD only, though.
Hey, Vinegar Syndrome. Here we go. We just did your homework for you. This is your next film you should release.
Do it.
No, I'm sorry. Dark Sky Films picked it up. So, yeah, Dark Sky Films released it, so that means that we possibly could get a blue with them because they recently transitioned some of their rights. So,
okay. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, so, yeah, that's Sweet Sugar. You all should watch Sweet Sugar. I mean, if anything, just for Phyllis Davis.
Yes.
She's great. All right.
You can watch that, and like she's in Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Oh yeah,
and I love Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, so yes, everyone should watch that. And she's not even the hottest woman in that movie, if you can believe that. That's Cynthia Myers. Yeah, well,
you know, another film this would be fun to be paired up with is, this is, I think, going to be a Vinegar Syndrome title that they release as well, but Code Red released it as just a couple months ago. But Terminal Island with Tom Selleck.
Ooh.
Terminal Island's really good, where it's like a co-ed camp in a way. But yeah, it's Tom Selleck's in it, and it's really, really good. It's directed by Stephanie Rothman, who has done some really good shit, like Beyond Atlantis, The Working Girls. Scream Factory just released her other movie, The Velvet Vampire. That's really good.
Yes.
She wrote the Jack Hill movie, Bloodbath, that Arrow released. So yeah, Stephanie Rothman. I wish she had a bigger career than she actually had, because she was she was doing exploitation films better than men were, and like that's really fucking cool. Because she went in there, I mean, it's always been a male-dominated industry, obviously, but for a female to go in there and just start making these movies with, like, no fucks, but also giving what men want in those films at that given time, I mean, we're still talking about, like, even in the 80s with Slumber Party Massacre, all directed by females, where they're making slashers better than men do. But I guess when you get in exploitation films, it's a little bit tougher because of how, you know, how mean some of these films were. But they didn't hold back. I mean, they just went, but they also had this, like, female empowerment movement mm-hmm. that they definitely pushed out there. So, yeah, Stephanie Rothman, man, I wish she made more movies. I think she was, like, Working Girls was her last movie, and then she was done, maybe?
Huh.
But, Working Girls...
Definitely something to check out.
Yeah, Working Girls, Group Marriage, Terminal Island, they're all on Blu-ray from Code Red, so I would definitely check those out.
Very nice. Or, well, wait for Terminal Island for Vinegar Syndrome, right? Are we doing that?
I mean, I hope that they do it as well. I know it's the rights to that film was a little messed up.
Until the rights, yeah. Well, I got to say about Vinegar Syndrome, I don't know if I mentioned this before. I have mentioned my disdain for slipcovers. But Vinegar Syndrome does them right. They're sturdy.
Jerking off?
Yeah. What? Yep.
You touching yourself? Are you touching yourself, Sean?
Slipcover porn.
you might need to get some lube on that. That sounds dry, bro.
Yeah. ouch. There's some
sandpaper.
Their slipcovers are super sturdy, and I'm a fan.
They're pretty.
Good job.
They're pretty, system.
And they're pretty. The artwork's very nice. So we got a couple more here, and this other one came with a limited edition slipcover. It is 1980s The Hearse.
Jinx.
An ancient house.
It's haunted. And you're a ghost.
A phantom car that's still roaming the old county road in search of victims.
You're not gonna get me, you're not!
A terrifying confrontation with evil. Trish Van Devere, Joseph Cotton, The Hearse. A classic experience in fright. Rated PG.
Awesome.
Mm. All right, Sarah, you a fan of The Hearse?
Yes? Question mark? I just don't like Trish Van Devere. She's not elite. I mean, she was married to George C. Scott, I guess, but she's just not lead actress material for me. So, but it does have Joseph Cotton in it, so there's a bonus.
All right, here. I think I'll change your mind if you haven't seen this movie. Have you watched Hollywood Vice Squad?
Me? Yes, I have.
Yeah. You're amazing. All right, cool. That you still don't like her?
No, she's just... No, I don't. She's very... Oh, she's just bland and milquetoast. I don't know.
I mean, I agree with you. I'm a big fan of Hollywood Vice Squad. I mean, I think the cast in that... She's in that fucking Carrie Fisher. You know, it's just Robin Wright is in that movie. But I don't know. I think that's that movie's excellent. I just why don't we talk about that instead? Hollywood
Well, yeah, the Hearst, like, it felt very much like trying to be like Hammer horror type, more.
It tries to be too fancy. It tries to be too fancy. Like it's trying to do something that it's not. If they would just kind of do more of a haunted hearse type straightforward movie, it would have worked. Instead, they're trying to do all this like I don't know, like kind of dreamy like sequences, and I don't know. It just takes away from the film. There's not a lot of horror. I think is what it is.
Yeah, it's and more
I think that's kind of the misleading thing about it.
So you'd rather have it like The Car instead of whatever this is.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, it's going to be like a haunted hearse kind of, you know, where there is a hearse, but it's, I mean, I don't think it should have been called The Hearse, really.
It should have been called The Hearse-mobile. Huh? No?
The Hearse and the Haunted House. I don't know.
But I don't know. It's just it just feels a little too bland. I mean, it looks good. You know, Vinegar Syndrome did some great work, but I don't know. It's not very engaging. I think is what my issue with it. It's just really bland and just there. I don't really get excited about it. I've seen it a few times. I grew up on the hearse. A good pairing with this is, I would say, the ambulance and the hearse, because they both have similar tones, similar feels. I think the ambulance is a better movie. Watch the hearse, watch the ambulance. That would be a good double feature. I think you just have to be in the mood and know what to expect from the hearse to maybe enjoy it. Because I think going in blind on the hearse might be a little disappointing.
It was very, like, European Gothic.
It's the Malibu High of haunted car movies.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
where it's like, oh, the car, Christine, the ambulance. Nope.
Yeah.
That's not what it is. So
yeah, there's a lot of atmosphere. That was the word I was searching for earlier. Like,
there's a lot
of atmosphere in it. I mean, this woman, she's recently divorced. She moves outside outside San Francisco to more of the country. It's fun seeing, like, I loved seeing the San Francisco stuff early on in the film, like the bay and everything was really filmed really great. But you know, she moves to this weird house that she has some connection to, I think, by her aunt, and you know, of course the townspeople are weird. Something's going on. They don't want her there. And then it gets going from there. But yeah, it never really ramps into anything really terrifying, or like, I feel like there's not enough payoff with the film with the setup. So for me, it was okay. The atmosphere is pretty great. I get the gothic tone that they're going for, and it could be maybe expectations too, because based on, you know, just the poster and artwork and stuff. But the director, George Bowers, you all should watch his other one of
Dude,
his other
My
films
Tutor.
Called My Tutor.
Oh,
yeah, he also did that. The
My
Johnny
Tutor
Depp.
Is fantastic.
He did that Johnny Depp movie too. That's a sex comedy. What is that called?
Private Resort.
Private Resort. Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, Private Resort's really good too.
So check out those
Private
films.
Resort's pretty high up on the sex comedy scale, by the way. Like, it's pretty high up there. It's up there like with Screwballs and Beach Girls.
Nice. I haven't seen Private Resort. I need to remedy that.
Yeah. Dude, you need to watch Beach Girls.
I've seen the poster.
Beach Girls is fucking great.
I do own Beach Girls.
Yeah.
And I need to watch it. That's put out by Scorpion, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a few other movies of that director's to check out. But My Hearse, yeah, if you want something more, you know, like Hammer horror, gothic-ish, you know, the Hearse is all right.
Just by looks, though, not by style and feel. Just by, like, cinematography-wise, it tries really hard to be a Hammer movie.
It does. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to the last film we are going to discuss.
Last film? That's it?
Well, in the, you know, the main batch here, then we can talk a little bit about the grown-up movies.
Oh!
My daughter just walked in the room. I had to kind of keep the conversation.
I'll say X-rated, as in bad.
My son walked in when I was watching Showgirls last night, and so, you know, put some ice on it scene, and so I had to hide my screen, and I'm just like, go away, honey. You can't see this.
All right, here we go. We are going to talk about 1992's Psycho Cop Returns.
Yeah!
Larry and Brian thought they'd planned the perfect bachelor party. They took care of the booze. They took care of the boss.
Yes!
They took care of the girls.
Women, 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 women!
They took care of the entertainment.
We're here to party!
They even took care of the night watchman. The only thing they didn't take care of was him.
You boys wouldn't be planning anything illegal.
Now they've got an uninvited guest.
They're just having some fun.
Fun? Our fun?
Until someone loses an eye.
He's a cop. He shoots at people for a living. Chances are he's a little bit strange.
Psycho Cop 2.
You know, I'm beginning to suspect foreplay.
It's not what it looks like. You're drunk and disorderly.
Well, hello there, officer.
You're under arrest. You have the right to remain dead.
There's something really wrong.
Actually, I take it back. This is my favorite.
I would say...
Oh,
I don't know.
You know, stop.
I would say watch Maniac Cop instead.
No, fuck you. Yeah, Maniac Cop's really good, though. All right, so number one, you're jumping into this shit watching Psycho Cop Returns without watching Psycho Cop, right?
Well, yeah, but is Psycho Cop available anywhere?
It doesn't matter. Psycho Cop still exists. Like, yeah, the film's available somewhere, you know?
Maybe if Vinegar Syndrome would release Psycho Cop
I think Sony
first.
Owns it. Sony owns it, okay. So just relax.
A lot of these studios or a lot of these distributors, they'll get rights to a sequel, and it's always frustrating because, like, I always want to make it a point to watch the first movie first, but in this case, I jumped right into the sequel. But I don't think – for me, I don't think it mattered.
It does.
What it was.
No, it does. It does.
All right,
trust
explain.
Me. Explain, Brad. Well, Sarah, have you watched Psycho Cop?
I haven't, but I see I don't know. I'm looking at this second one, and I see Julie Strain is in it, so there's a reason to watch it right there.
Yeah, she's super cute. Super cute lady. All right, so Psycho Cop. All right. Psycho Cop, the first one, is 1,000 times better than Psycho Cop Returns. But it pushes, it gives you a little bit more of kind of just what to expect from Joe Vickers when you're watching Psycho Cop Returns. It's a lot more fun to watch him unfold and kind of just waltz around and, like, you know, intimidate the people at, the people at, like, the restaurant and follow them and then get to the security guard. It's a lot more fun watching him do that, knowing what's going to happen and what this dude is about. So Psycho Cop is just the silly version of Maniac Cop, I would say, is the kind of the way to, you know, maybe explain a little bit better. The dialogue and one-liners in Psycho Cop are outstanding. They're so funny. The guy who plays Joe Vickers, I can't remember his name. He's from, you know, The Office. He plays Bob Vance Refrigeration.
Yeah, Robert Schaefer.
Robert Schaefer just takes this role of this Psycho Cop and just churns it out and does something really fantastic. And you can tell that he is enjoying what he's doing. And I think that's one of the biggest concerns I have while watching some of these movies, whether it be a slasher or whatever. Can you kind of get the vibe that the actor is enjoying himself and having a good time? Because so many times we have a slasher where it's just a figure. It's just somebody there. It's not really, it can be anybody menacing. It can be anybody that's just funny. but somebody that really enjoys like what they're doing. For example, the first Slumber Party Massacre is really great. You know, yeah, that's a little more straightforward. But in the sequel, when we have the Driller Killer guitar, this dude is loving every second of his life playing this character. And that's why I like Slumber Party Massacre 2 more than the first one. They're both great. I love the trilogy in general. But then you even have the third movie where that guy, he's so awkward killing. Like, he's wearing, like, fucking slacks and, like, he looks like me. Like, that's my dad outfit, you know? Like, if I went around in my dad outfit killing people, I don't look like I'm having fun. Like, dude, wear, like, shorts and a t-shirt or something. Feel more comfortable. Robert Schaefer in Psycho Cop, when he is playing Psycho Cop, he is having a blast. It's like Freddy, it's like Robert Englund being Freddy. Like, you know he loves doing that. You know he loves that role. And so there's just this whole different vibe going on, and I think that it's an exposition for the character, even though it's very minimal. Watching Psycho Cop and then watching Psycho Cop 2, it's a great pair. But what amplifies a little bit in Psycho Cop 2 is that, you know, Riff Coogan, a.k.a. Adam Rifkin, is the one that's behind it. And Adam Rifkin just has this really fun way of taking boobs and blood and kind of like this homoerotic thing and turning it in and putting, like, yeah, I mean, Adam Rifkin, of course, like, he has like this whole huge, like, overtone homoeroticism in his films. And it's really fun. It makes it a little bit more sleazy. It makes it, you know, very sweaty.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what do you guys think of ultra sweaty sex scenes? For me, it just kind of like, you know.
In this movie, it's fucking great.
Can you weigh in on this?
I am not a fan of those either. I always feel like I need to take a shower after movies that have that, because this is really grimy. Grimy is my word.
Yeah.
Oh, we're talking about in the movies, or you're talking about real life?
Oh, I'm talking about in the movies, but in real life too, I guess. I mean,
turn on an air. In real life, you can turn on a goddamn air conditioner. Just turn it down a little bit.
See, I turn the heat on.
Take a sheet off.
I turn the heat on. Yeah, I turn the heat on, run around the room a few times, and then I jump on her.
Ooh, freak.
So I don't know. Like, I find, like, I guess if you were talking about something like some 90s, like, you know, Skinamax flicks, yeah. But in Psycho Cop Returns, the over the top bodies bumping with this looks like a sprinkler is on them and the water is just pouring down them. I find it comical, but that's what Adam Rifkin is really good at doing. You know, but Psycho Cop Returns, Adam Rifkin has this charm in his movies that make you laugh but make you feel dirty at the same time. So something like equivalent to The Dark Backward with Judd Nelson and Bill Paxton. Like, you know, the movie is just so bizarre, which, like, Psycho Cop Returns is, but you have, like, these really great characters throughout the film, and you have Miles Dougal in Psycho Cop Returns. I think this is, like, his debut. Has worked with Adam Rifkin for years. Just being kind of that sweaty, nervous, you know, worker guy. And I don't know. I kind of like the themes, the tones, the aesthetic that Adam Rifkin provides. I think maybe that's... Now, I think if anybody else directed Psycho Cop Returns, I probably wouldn't be as on board with it, but being it's Adam Rifkin, he brings a certain aesthetic to his films that make it really enjoyable. And I think a lot of people, I think it gets mixed in with the kind of the gross stuff, like maybe that you suggested, but like with something like The Dark Backward and, you know, like Detroit Rock City, watching kind of him make the documentary of Giuseppe Makes a Movie with Giuseppe Andrews, like, he has this way of showing kind of a dirtier, darker, sweatier side to cinema, and that's why I really, 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 really like Adam Rifkin. So, but anyways, I like Psycho Cop Returns, but watch Psycho Cop first, and I think you'll, and then watch Psycho Cop Returns. I think you'll have a different kind of different aspect. It'll have a different aspect with you. You'll look at it differently.
Anyway, so that was Psycho Cop Returns. They do have a few new movies, a new package out yet that we haven't got to. We'll be getting to that probably within the within the next few weeks here.
We get to talk about Nurse Sherry.
Ooh.
Well, yeah, we'll be talking about Nurse Sherry next time. I haven't watched it yet. I'm pretty excited to watch it. So
make sure you get some lotion.
Out. I know. VinegarSyndrome.com. Let's jump into briefly into the back room. So the titles that they have, they released, there's That's Outrageous, Hot Flashes, a double feature of Ladies Night / Her Wicked Ways,
oh,
a double feature of Pussycat Ranch, and Here Comes the Bride. So
you said pussy.
Yep. So if you both, have you both seen any of these?
All right. I'm going to pull it out here and check to see what I've seen. All right. So... Hot Flashes, let's see what this was. Oh, Hot Flashes was entertaining because it's nothing but fucking. Not butt fucking, but butt fucking. I know it's like, hey, you're talking about a porno, but no, there's so much sex in Hot Flashes. Like, I was getting hot flashes.
Wow.
Like, it's about, like, on-site weather girls that just fuck everybody. Like... There wasn't even scenes of, like, dialogue, and other people were fucking. Like, some dude, they're just like, hey, how's it going in San Francisco? And he's like, oh, it's okay. And then she just gets down and starts blowing him. And I'm like, there's absolutely no story in Hot Flashes whatsoever.
But you're complaining about that?
Well, here's the thing about myself and older pornography is that I do enjoy one of my favorite all-time porno films is Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls. number one, because Desiree Cousteau's in it, and she is absolutely phenomenal. But it also is, if you take out the sex scenes in Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls, you still have a movie. And that's where I look at it, is that that's my double enjoyment out of those films. Now, like something with That's Outrageous... That's Outrageous has some really, like, this is one of the very first pornos that I watched from Vinegar Syndrome where I was like, I might need to take a little break because I need to go to my back room. That's Outrageous.
You don't have it set up all right there?
Wow.
Huh?
You don't have, like, a little table and just everything set up right there?
Well, I don't really pull it out in the living room. So, No. I don't. I watch it in the living room, but I really don't pull it out in the living room. So, That's Outrageous is really great. Jamie Gillis is in it. Joey Silvera. Both of these guys have always been hilarious. Rest in peace. But both of these guys have always been really, really funny, and they're really great in this movie. It does have a story. It's mainly just about affairs and sex, of course, but it's done in a very comical and funny way. Also, the sex scenes are very tasteful. They're not, like, super gross like some of these movies are, but they're just, you know, they're longer. They have, you know, there's that feeling between the characters where both of them are enjoying it, which I think that's a lot of issues with pornography in general, is that obviously the girl's not digging it, which is a huge turnoff. And if the guy's not digging it, he looks nervous, and therefore it's not fun either. But in this film, both of the girls are, yeah, actually when the girls do it as well, which is they're always happy when they're doing that. But when it's the guy-girl scenes, you can tell that both actors, actresses, they're both into it, which makes it a little bit more enjoyable, and it's really funny. So That's Outrageous is definitely the highlight of the back room on these. Pussycat Ranch, it's awful just because no one can act in it. It's just over the top, stupid. People are looking at the camera constantly. There's actually one blonde girl in it that won't stop looking at what's going on behind the camera. she, like, even, like, pops her head over to, like, look to see what people are doing. Like, I guess they're fucking on set. I don't know. Pussycat Ranch is not the greatest. Here Comes the Bride, kind of the same thing. They're directed by John Christopher, same director, where it's just like, you know, Pussycat Ranch and Here Comes the Bride are like equivalent to the really bad slashers. Everybody's making a slasher, so let's make one. Eh, equivalent to the porno. It's like, oh, I can get people to fuck on camera. Let me do that. Hey, let me ask my friends. And it's just, I don't know. It's just not very fun. It's just there. What were the other ones? Ladies Night and Wicked Ways. Yeah. I didn't get to those. BJ's gonna have to cover those.
That's not good. We'll get some information on those from BJ.
But I will say That's Outrageous is really good. I know BJ is gonna really love. She's probably got a lot of great things to say about That's Outrageous.
Cool. We'll have her weigh in. She is gonna be working on her own little podcast called BJ's Backroom Double Feature Recommendations, available to patrons. And next week I'll have more information. We should have more information on that, on what price level and all that kind of stuff. But should be good. Sarah, did you have any weigh-ins on the Backroom titles?
I do not. I watch porn, but I haven't seen any of those. I'm sorry.
Yeah, do you have any, like, favorite, like... Do you have any, like, favorite, like, porno films, like, from Vinegar Syndrome or anything that exists out there in the world?
You know, I am really bad with titles. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just curious. So, yeah. what's some of your, like, your favorite films, and, like, as far as kind of, like, what we've been talking about today, like, exploitation and stuff like that? Anything that really stands out that you really love?
That's kind of sexy, like Malibu High, that kind of stuff, or just exploitation in general?
Yeah, just whatever. Just to kind of get a feel for your taste, like what makes Sarah Jane Sarah Jane?
Oh gosh. Well, I like a blaxploitation. Willie Dynamite is my favorite blaxploitation, but I also like Truck Turner. I like Jack Hill movies. You know, Switchblade Sisters. I think he did that one. Yeah. God, it's so early in the morning.
No, it's good. That's good, though. I mean, I think we definitely, because from just reading what you've written, and I mean, I guess I haven't interacted you with it that long, but from what I can tell, like, you definitely know your shit, and you're really into, like some really obscure stuff, which I think everybody lacks with these days. I don't think people really dive into. You're not afraid to get weird.
No,
and that's not from like a woman perspective. That's from an everybody perspective. I think people are afraid to get too weird these days, and it really bugs me.
Well, first of all, I have to thank my husband, because I didn't really watch a lot of exploitation until I met him. And so he introduced me to the whole genre. We watched a lot of Something Weird videos, and this was back in the early 2000s. So some of that stuff was still really obscure. But so he got me into that. But also we use Bleeding Skull, their book, as a guide. We have a challenge going on where we're watching every single movie in the book. And nice. There's over 200. I think we're only at 83. And so far it's a 3-year project because we just watch so many movies. But yeah, that's mostly shot on video stuff. So if you want to get really weird and
that's on my alley,
then, you know, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, your writing, like you said, is over at talkfilmsociety.com.
Yes, sir. I also have a Letterboxd page. I'm sorry. It's letterboxd.com/fookthis.
Nice. And then, of course, same handle for Twitter, FOOK this.
That's
follow
me.
Follow Sarah. Lot of fun. A lot of fun times.
Try to be. I'm naughty. Talk about a lot of cock.
There you go. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week's show. Sarah, thank you for joining us today and hanging out and talking some flicks. I need to give some shout outs to our sponsors, Vinegar Syndrome, of course, I want to thank them for sending titles our way so we can talk about them. Coffee Shop of Horrors, if you want a 10% discount on your coffee order, go to coffeeshopofhorrors.com and use the coupon code SCREAMCAST. A lot of their coffee is really good. They're a favorite of mine. So check them out. They have like so many crazy flavors. I always stick to like kind of the vanillas, hazelnuts, stuff like that. But they do have a new peanut butter cup flavor called Game Over. They should check out. All right. Their waffles and syrup, Stranger Brew, is divine.
So I haven't had that one yet.
Please check them out. And
Grindhouse Video.
Also, grindhousevideo.com. Check them first, please. We just had a giveaway for our $5 and up patrons. We had a couple winners there. And gosh, I can't. Let's see. Who were the winners? T-Bone Tony Hartman.
Oh, shit.
And who was our other one?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I know. I got
but
it.
T-Bone. T-Bone Tony Hartman. Dude. Like, Jacob how is Peter. That much of a blaxploitation, like flick, T-Bone Tony Hartman.
Well, congratulations to T-Bone Tony
Starring
Hartman.
Starring Jim
and
Brown.
Jacob Peter.
Fred Williamson.
Winning, being our first winners. If you're a Jim $5 Kelly. Patron, if you're a $5 patron, you'll be entered into a drawing each month for
Tony King
from Grindhouse Video. Also, music by Wolfman of Mars. They have some new t-shirts and shit up over at their Bandcamp, wolfmenofmars.bandcamp.com. And Kevin Spencer is responsible for our logo. He's keeping the website inkspatters.com, but he's switching some stuff around. He's about to dive into a lot more art, so he's going to have a lot more cool stuff coming out as well. So, of course, all
Grindhouse Video.
Social media links are over at the
cheaper than Amazon.
And of course, if you love what we do, if you want to support the show,
grindhousevideo.com.
Please become a patron over at patreon.com/scream_cast. We have a few levels, $5 levels. Of course, you enter into the drawing each month for free shit. You can help drive the conversation for our late night bonus episode.
$10
patrons and up, you can hear the late night episode. And then I'm trying to work out for BJ's show. I may make that available to all patrons, dollar and up. So we're going to sort out all the specifics. But please, if you like what we do, we want to thank all of you guys for supporting us via Patreon. And we do have a couple new patrons, I think. Dustin Mills, thank you so much for becoming
a patron. Dustin Mills, the fucking director?
Dustin Wade Mills. I don't know.
Dustin, that's the fucking director.
Dustin, thank you.
Yeah, that's fucking director of like Apple Cart and shit. What?
Tony Harmon's a new patron. Josh Jones is a new patron. So thank you guys for supporting the podcast that way. We really appreciate it. All right. That's going to do it for this week's show, everybody. Any last words, Sarah?
No, just thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Of course. A lot more guests will be coming your way through future shows. So thank all of you for listening. We will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, George Clooney.
Bye.
Oh, don't tell me you're leaving. The party's just begun.
Evilus.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to oneofus.net and don't forget your towel.